Today's podcast is taking place on April 2, 2016. It's 8:05 p.m. on the Pacific Coast. I have with me tonight my friend Zias Livingstone in British Columbia, and on the line with us, a mother by the name of Christy Day, who lives in Louisiana. I received an email just this morning from Christy, in which she's told me the story of having lost her baby son in May of 2015, just 9 days after the child was vaccinated with 6 different vaccines. I need to spend more time studying Christy's medical report to get the details of this story down more carefully. However, tonight I'd just like to briefly talk to Christy about the fact that she told me in an earlier conversation that she was essentially not a anti-vaccine person. Quite the opposite. She thought that vaccines were a necessary protection for your kids, and she wanted to be sure that her other 3 children were fully vaccinated, following all the protocols and procedures and recommendations by the doctor she was seeing, because she was led to believe, as millions of mothers are in this country, that vaccines are safe and effective, and they're far from that. So if we can just briefly overview the story, Christy, tell us how it happened, when your baby was born, briefly what happened within the first couple of days that you were in the hospital. There was an episode in which they kept the baby in the hospital longer than you wanted, but we won't go into the details of that today. But when you did get the baby home, and for at least up to that 11th week visit to the pediatrics office, the baby seemed to look, act, and function normally in all regards. So I'd like to just briefly take us up from the birth of the child through to the vaccinations, those 6 vaccinations that were given to your baby boy on May 20th, 2015, and 9 days later, on May 29, 2015, this boy died. And the people involved in providing the vaccines and so forth, and they have tried to, and the system, if you will, the coroner's report, tried to not even mention the word vaccine as a possible causal factor in the child's death. So let me just introduce you, Christy Day, and please start us from the birth of the child up to the 11th week visit on 5/20. Just give us a brief overview of what you experienced and saw.
Okay. My child's name is Reed Thomas Englehart. He was born on March the 7th, 2015. Like you said, he had an extra stay in the hospital, but we won't go into that at this point. He was marked as normal baby, well, to go home on the second day. And he was a normal baby. He hit all the milestones. He actually was advanced. He could hold his head up pretty much basically from the time he was born, as with all my other children were the same. Like you mentioned before, I am not an anti-vaxxer. I never was. I believe that those vaccinations protected my children from the world. I am a mother who would not let my child out my home unless they were going to the doctor until they got those 2-month vaccinations, because I really believed in what the doctors told me, that they protected them. And I'll go back to him. You know, he was perfect. He was healthy. He was normal. He was smiling. He was laughing. He could hold his head up. We had tummy time. He could hold his head up. Laying on his stomach, he could pick his head up. I took him in on his 8th week to get his vaccinations, and he had a little wheezing and cough. And from my own theory, I have never had a C-section before, and I just believe that it was because he was not from a normal birth, that maybe all the mucus was didn't come, you know, get squeezed out of his lungs. So I summed it up to that. But as my fourth child, I knew what to do. I did everything they recommended, the saline and stuff, had the humidifier, had the little chest rub, and nothing seemed to help that cough and that congestion that he had. I declined the whooping cough shot in the hospital. So I asked them to make sure that he did not have the whooping cough when I took him in for his initial 2-month shot. Therefore, they did not give him the shot at that time, because you cannot give the baby shots if they're sick. So they tested him for the whooping cough, and they told me they would call me back with the results. They did, and the results were negative. And at that point, they scheduled his 2-month shots on May the 20th. His father actually took him in on May the 20th, and he got those shots. And when he came home, he slept 11 hours. I called the local emergency room because I knew that wasn't right. None of my other children had done that. And, of course, they said, oh, he's fine. He just had his shots. He'll be fine. And he finally woke up. From that point on, he was never the same. He never smiled. He never laughed. He never cooed. He never made the sound. He just was not the same. He loved bath time. Afterwards, he cried. You could not put that child down. He could not be consoled. He cried, he cried, he cried. At the time, I did not realize that he was dying, that the poison was killing him. And, you know, I didn't realize it. And 9 days later, on May the 29th, coincidentally, I had scheduled to go get my tubes tied, and I woke up around 7 a.m., and Reed was laying on his father's chest, and I will add this, that his father, he was in Iraq in 2005, and, you know, when there was really a war, and I can tiptoe in that room, and that man wakes up. And I checked on all my babies like I do, and Reed was on his chest breathing, and he was fine. 7 a.m. I was in the same room getting dressed and never heard a sound. Around 7:30, 7:45, me and my oldest child, he was 6 at the time, we went to grab breakfast from the nearest fast food restaurant. I didn't have to make time to make breakfast since I was about to leave to go have my tubes tied. I asked my child to go inside and ask Dusty, which is the father's name, if he wanted anything to eat. And at that point, the child was still on his chest. Dusty can claim and admit to that he was on his chest in the same position. There's that in the coroner's report as well. They can tell, you know, his right cheek was on his father's chest, like he said. And when my child woke him up to ask him if he wanted anything to eat, Dusty, the father, realized that something was wrong. He ran outside me and said, something's wrong, something's wrong. I placed the child down on the car of the seat, and I did CPR like I was taught with all four of my children. I know I did it right. I felt my breath fill his lungs. And I did get up some pink mucusy type of, not blood, but mucusy blood type of substance, which I hear is common in vaccine deaths. But at that point, it was too late. And, you know, we had called 911 and all that in between that. And I just knew if something told me in my heart, if I couldn't bring him back, then the EMS, I had no hope that they would bring him back. But again, I was a mother that believed those vaccinations protected my children. And the same thing that I believe protected my child killed my child. And all I want is for mothers just to pick up the computer and just, it takes 2 seconds to Google, my child died from vaccination, and just read the stories, because there are so many hundreds, thousands of mothers out there that have the same story as I do. And you think that it won't happen to you, just like I thought it wouldn't happen to me. I thought that nothing would ever happen to me, not my child. But it did, and it can happen to you as well. So please, mothers listening, if you have any doubt, or even if you don't have a doubt, just please pick up the computer, or please, when you go in there to get those vaccinations, ask them for the slip and read those ingredients in those vaccinations. Read them, because it is not something that you want in your child, your precious baby that only eats formula. I mean, he can't even have real food at this time. But he can be shot up with poison. I don't understand it. And I guess that's all I can say up until his death. And, you know, I'm missing a child now, and I will live with that pain for the rest of my heart. I'm trying to be strong and not cry, but it is something that I cry about every day. I find little socks and drawers and little pieces of them everywhere. And it's just something that you don't want to live with. So please, please do the research. Just pick up the computer. I mean, pick up your phone. Instead of looking at Facebook, look at, just Google my child's out from vaccinations, or look up my page, Christy Lynn Day from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and read my story. Just do the research. Please do the research. That's all. That's all I'm asking. And if saved one baby, I will be just, I wouldn't want my worst enemy to live with the pain that I live with, and I will live with for the rest of my life, as well as the father, and, you know, my sister, the aunt, my mother, the grandmother, you know, and the list goes on. Family members that live with the pain of the death of a sweet, innocent baby.
Well, thank you very much. I thought you explained it very well. I appreciate you telling us the story. What I'm most concerned about is that there is a widespread belief among your average American parent out there who are assuming and accepting the assurance that they've been given all of their lives that vaccines are something that are safe and effective and good for people. It protects you from disease and so forth. And it's simply not true. The people who suffered a loss of a child or have a child is injured, children who don't die of vaccinations, who are damaged, often suffer neurological damage that lasts for an entire lifetime. So we talked to a woman in Rhode Island a few weeks ago named Sheila Lawton, who was trying to stop the attempts in the Rhode Island legislature to pass a law which would absolutely mandate, compel parents to have their seventh graders take the Gardasil vaccination. They're going to pass that law because there's so much money and so much financial support given to legislators, behind the scenes, of course, that it's very difficult to stop this juggernaut unless a great deal of parents become upset and aware and take action. So we saw here in California last year, they passed a law, it's called SB 277, signed into law in June of last year by the governor here in California, that requires that any child who goes to school, or even children placed in daycare centers, or even baby care centers, any sort of facility that takes care of a child, you know, before school, has to follow these mandatory, compulsory vaccination recommendations, or call it recommendations. So you can't even put your baby in a baby child care center unless you get these vaccines here in California. And, of course...
And excuse me, I don't mean to interrupt, but it has been like that in Louisiana for years. You have to, I mean, in order to get your child into school, you must show the vaccination record. Even to go to college, you have to show that you're up on your vaccine. But what I want, if there are any Louisiana mothers or fathers or anyone from Louisiana listening, had I done my research, I would have known that there's an exempt form that I could have just signed, that I was religiously against it. And I would have, because when I read about the autism big deal years back, I believed in it. And I didn't do my research, and I didn't know about that form. And had I done my research and known about that form, there would have been four baskets to see.
I know. I'm so sorry that we have to discuss the story, but you want to do this in the interest of saving other mothers the heartache that you're going through now, so that's why we're talking about it. ZS, any questions or comments at this point?
Before the broadcast, she mentioned something about the falsification of records on the autopsy and also the hiding of evidence. The hospital, is it a research facility, or was it being paid to do experimental vaccinations? You did mention earlier HIV vaccination. I think that's entirely experimental.
Well, if I can just make a little aside here, the fact is that... I remember listening to lectures of Gary Null on the subject. All vaccinations are considered experimental. It's one of the rubrics they use to avoid, for insurance claims prior to the change in the law, in which they essentially created this. They call it a vaccine court, but it's not really a court. It's just an awards administrative function now. But you can't, when they change the law, you can no longer, anyone who's injured or child is killed or injured by vaccines simply can't not today sue, in America at least, cannot sue the pharmaceutical company who produced the vaccine. You just can't do it. It's against the law to sue them.
Right.
And so they created this substitute, this compensation thing, but that, of course...
In 1986,
yes, that's right.
The Vaccine Injury Compensation
right.
Program, 75 cents of each vaccination goes to the government. That is basically their insurance.
Right. So they're building up this fund because the people who are getting vaccines are paying to build up this fund in which if a ward is made to a parent who's lost or, you know, a child was injured and they win some of the money. So this is another bizarre aspect to this game they play, is that the pharmaceuticals nor the government actually pay the bills for these damages. They have other vaccine, you know, the parents of vaccinated children pay the bill for the, so that's awarded. I mean, that's what's going on. It's part of the outrage of the, but what we want to focus on here is that we want to first parents to know that vaccines kill children, and it's such a breach of medical ethics to give an 11-week-year-old baby all these vaccines at one time. If I wasn't aware,
he was 9 pounds.
Nine pounds.
Well.
Right? So you know, this has to stop. And but before the profession will stop, before the government will stop, parents have to stop. Mothers and fathers have to become aware of the fact that vaccines kill babies. It ends their lives because I put an article up on my website last year talking about the work of a Canadian doctor named Dr. Andrew Molden, who spent most of his life studying and obtaining degrees. This guy was so well educated, very unusual for a guy to go to have as much schooling as this man had. He continued after he got a medical degree. He got a number of doctorates, but this guy was about as sharp as you can get when it comes to understanding how the body works. And he focused his research on the damage done to the human body by vaccinations. And he produced a wonderful series of videos called Tolerance Lost. And he came out with those videos, I believe it was in 2009, 2010. He was doing lectures and a number of talks, and I believe he was gaining a lot of attention. And mysteriously, in November of 2013, Dr. Molden died at 49 years old, and I can't seem to find any article or website that gives a cause for his death. So I'm very suspicious, because he was making so much noise and getting so much publicity, that he was killed covertly. It's not difficult to do. There's a number of ways that it can be done. But I think his family has been scared off. That's the reason there's no story explaining how or why he died. But anyway, his work, his DVDs, Tolerance Loss, is available on the internet. And I hope anyone who hears this podcast will go to my current news page and scroll down and find the article that addresses the work of Dr. Andrew Molden. If you click on the article, it will explain briefly what it is that Molden discovered about vaccines that cause what's called an ischemic reaction. It causes what they call strokes. So he discovered that any and every vaccine causes this phenomena, which means you're going to get this stroking phenomena. Now, for people who don't have any apparent reaction to vaccines, it doesn't mean that they're not having this reaction. It means that they're able to withstand the reaction. But a small baby or a weak child doesn't have the strength to withstand an ischemic attack, and as a result, what happens is that the vaccines, when they're injected in the bloodstream, cause an immediate, let's say, alert of your body's immune system. So a great deal, the body sees this vaccine as an attack, as it were. So it floods into the bloodstream molecules and chemicals designed to try to counter-react. But the net effect is that this has the effect of causing large cells, large white blood cells, to conglomerate and cluster at the openings of very small, fine capillary networks, especially in the brain. And as a result, blood does not get to all those neuron cells that are fed by those tiny, tiny microscopic capillary networks, and there's millions of them in the body. As a result, you get death of cells due to the lack of oxygen, which is normally delivered there by the blood. But the blood can't get there because these large white blood cells, which have now accumulated and dammed up, if you will, as a result of the vaccine in the bloodstream. It caused the marshalling of the reaction. And so parents don't know this, and Molden explains it very well. So please.
I actually, that is how I got to your website, from that actual
article by Molden.
Augustina sent mm-hmm. it to me. I have the article address if you would like me to say it out loud for anyone listening.
Okay, sure. It's on my current news page, so if anyone doesn't get the address correct, go to the current news page of educate-yourself.org and scroll down. It's either under featured articles or of special interest. I have two subcategories on my current news page, and it's under one of those, but I tried to leave it on the current news page so anyone could find it. Just start from the top, scroll down slowly, you'll see it. Dr. Andrew Molden. Here it is. It's educate-yourself.org/CN/Dr. Dr. Molden's breakthrough-vaccine. Let me get this thing on the way. /discovery-every-vaccine-elicits-and-immune-response-that-triggers- it's quite long. impaired-blood-flow-in-the-brain. So it's much longer than I thought it was, but it's the same title as the article itself. So you should be able to find it on my current news page. Dr. Molden's breakthrough vaccine discovery: every vaccine elicits an immune response, resulting in debilitation from autism to SIDS. That's a very important article. Within the article, after a brief explanation of Molden's discovery, I link you to Molden's DVD page, which has all his videos. Please, folks, if you have children, listen to the DVDs from Dr. Andrew Molden. It's a wonderful, very clearly explained, very intelligently, cogently explained explanation for the layman why you don't want to vaccinate your children with anything. Just don't vaccinate, period. And you'll discover why by listening to his DVD. So thank you for mentioning that, Christy, because it's a very important story, and I'm just hoping.
I got a lot of information from it that I did not know, and it helped me understand a lot that I did not understand from the coroner's report. from my child's death. So it helped me, you know, understand some things that I needed to understand.
Now, we're going to be talking with you on another occasion, maybe two occasions or perhaps three, to go into the details of what happened to your son. But what we'll do is we'll stop here because I need to read the report which you sent me, but I haven't read it yet. And I'm going to reproduce the article that VaxTruth did on your story for you and put everything on a page with this podcast. So as we clarify the story, I'll continue to add more podcasts. ZS, do you have anything you want to add before we close out this talk today?
I should read the report too.
That's why I want to wait rather than dive into it today, Christy. Give me a chance to read it all, so I can more intelligently discuss the story with you. And I need to come up to speed too, so we know what you know, and then we'll try to, you know, present the story in a podcast in a very clear way, so folks can understand what happened. But I wanted to do this today just because in the, between now and whenever we do that podcast, how many other thousands of parents will have their little baby vaccinated, and who knows what may befall them.
No,
right. So that's why we want to do this quick talk today. So I'll
please don't have your baby vaccinated.
Right.
Please don't.
So what I'll do is I'll make your contact info available, Christy, on my article. So if you wish to have people reach you, they will be able to do that. So I want to thank C.S. Livingstone for being on board with me today, and especially thanks to Christy Day for contacting me and telling me this story. We want to stop this carnage. We want to stop this insanity of vaccinating particularly such young babies. They stopped in Japan. They started to have so many deaths from baby vaccinations that they passed a law requiring that they have to wait to at least 2 years of age so that the baby is physically larger and can withstand this assault more. But if people knew what I knew and what ZS knew about vaccines, you would never allow them to put any vaccine in your child. But I'll let...
And I read somewhere their immune system is actually not even fully grown until they're
two years
of age.
That's why they...
Yeah, usually the mother's immune system, the vaccination of the mother's blood from the womb is what's keeping the child protected
for
the first 2 years. Well, it's not a vaccination. It's actually the proper immune response.
Right. The mother's immunity does pass the child, particularly with breast milk. I just might throw that in there now since we're talking to hopefully to parents of expecting children or have children to. If you're having a baby, please consider breastfeeding your child. The benefits to the baby for a lifetime is enormous. If you can, at least for 1 year, breastfeed your child. He is getting so much immunity from you through breastfeeding. You do not realize it until you study the data, and that's something else that...
Which I did not.
But you didn't know, so that's why we're trying to do these shows, to help folks who don't know to realize that...
And honestly, the next show by you going through the information I sent you, I have not completely gone through the coroner's and the autopsy report. I don't feel that I have the strength to, so you can probably teach me some things that I do not know as well, and hopefully put some pieces to... You know, a puzzle that has some missing pieces.
I'm glad,
I look forward to doing the shows, and I'm here for however many you need.
Okay. Well, thank you, Christy. So I'll say goodnight to both ZS Livingstone in Canada and Christy Day for now. We will pick up the story again. We'll explain in much greater detail what happened to her baby boy and what but it's important, folks, to realize this child died as a result of getting those six different vaccines on May 20th of 2015, and 9 days later, on May 29th, this poor child died. Don't put your baby on the chopping block for the pharmaceutical medical establishment industry. Do your research. Vaccines are killers, and you do not want to cripple your child's for life by making the mistake of vaccinating him. All right, thank you both. I'll say goodnight to you, and we will pick up the story again in the near future after we had a chance to study your data.
Okay, thank you, and good night to both of you as well.
Good night.